Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. This is Skeptic Wire Podcast. And, of course, it's science. Science is a scream.
Welcome to the Skeptic Wire.
Frankly, I'm sick and tired of watching everybody I know freak out. Oh my God, Ebola's here!
Ebola! Is that the man in the bowler hat?
No!
So apparently we have a title for the episode already. Ermagerd Ebola.
Ebola. That meme just cracks me up.
I'm a girl. And yeah, how many times?
It works for everything.
I use it a lot. I got offered a job this weekend, though.
Did you?
Being a professional handler.
Okay.
Is that like a fluffer?
Yeah, it's not sounding much better. You were at Comic-Con and you got offered a job.
I ended up taking care of,
besides Camden,
John Kassir, which is how we got the, the Crypt Keeper.
That was cool.
I also ended up taking care of Nichelle Nichols.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why do I know that name?
The original, Uhura. And still the best, Lieutenant Uhura.
Ah! Yes, okay.
And I've had their handler, they're all rep by the same appearances guy, same appearances company.
Really?
And they called me today, going, "You're a mayor.
You're a mayor.
Oh my God! Can you be a handler?
Oh God! I sense a running gag.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Star Trek."
Okay, you're slipping into Swedish Chef right now.
That's exactly what I
thought.
And we have some new fans.
Really?
Okay.
The 8-bit geek guys.
Really?
If you haven't listened to their last two podcasts.
I have not. I didn't know they had a podcast.
Yeah. Well, actually, their day one, day two wrap-ups of Comic-Con. Like, they're all like, oh my God, we found the greatest producer ever. Her name is Donna, and she podcasts too.
Listen to her talk for an hour and a half on women's rights and films.
Yeah, no, they were like, that one was, they actually went and listened to it. They were all like, it was interesting, but go back to the science. Because they actually went and listened to, I guess, a couple episodes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So. I guess we'll give them a shout out then.
Yep. Oh my God, it's Chewbacca.
I should have saved that for the show.
It's Chewbacca.
It's Chewbacca.
He's a worker.
Do you want to time this? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm just turning off the auto lock on my phone so I can, so I don't have to swipe it. Auto lock. Multipass. Yes, yes, we know.
Chicken
multipass.
Good.
Cornelius.
Oh, the smart ape from Planet of the Apes.
No, it was Fifth Element.
Oh. Yeah, well, I saw
Fifth
some...
Fifth Element.
I saw some really badly lows this weekend.
Some what?
Guys who look like me doing the Lilo costume.
Two.
Wait, guys?
Yes.
As Lilo?
Yes.
Oh, ironically.
One of my friends from...
I don't think one of them was going for irony.
One of my friends from Game Night, who is, a good foot taller than me, and a bit on the heavy set side. He went as Rocket Raccoon. The world's tallest.
Rocket Raccoon.
From,
I saw some good Groots.
Yeah, and he seemed to have been palling around with a not Gamora, but what's the
Gamora? Greek,
it is Gamora, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay,
not quite. But
he went as a city.
The green skin lady from Guardians of the Galaxy. I cannot remember what her name is.
You want to hear another blasphemy? I still haven't seen that movie.
I don't think that's blasphemy because it's only recently come out.
Yeah, but
Buffy the fucking Vampire Slayer has been around for, you know, 15, 20 years. What have you been waiting for?
Yeah, Gamora. Gamora.
Okay.
Not like
Are you sure it's not Gamora?
I think the city has two H's or something at the end. Some weird shit like that.
Oh, it's Gamora.
And it's also, I think that it only has the one A and it's at the end. I think it's G-O-M-M-O-R. Or whatever, fucking, I don't care.
That's a really complicated spelling.
Fucking.
whatever, I don't care.
It's a diacopy.
Apparently that's all represented by a schwa.
R-A. Schwa.
Yes, the upside down E thing. Still don't know how it's officially supposed to be pronounced. I just know it's a thing from pronunciation.
No, it is. I believe it is schwa.
Right, but, well, the thing is schwa, but what that... How are you supposed to pronounce what that represents? It's.
I think it's an
I was afraid to say something because I knew one of you was going to look it up. So I was like slowly tilting over. like, okay.
Am I on the Titanic? I don't know. And the band played.
So it
on.
Says to make schwa sounds, you just need to reduce the sound of the vowel you thought it's supposed to sound like and reduce it a lot to the point that it almost loses the quality of the original vowel you first thought.
Yeah, but E has two sounds. It's E and E.
But it's a schwa is not an E sound.
Wait, it's a
like,
M sound.
Okay, so like a chord. Because it's not a chord or a chord. It's that almost the sound.
Right.
That's what.
So it's not so much meh, but meh.
Meh. I like that better, actually. I think it's more appropriate.
It's more meh-y. But when meh is far too verbose, there's meh.
Meh. Meh.
All right, you ready?
Sure.
Hello!
Hello!
Episode 172 for the 1st of October 2014.
We were doing the THX thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Isn't that the one with the... Meh. The little the turn over the new one is to turn over the little cow sound thing.
That's, I think, the production company from Joss Whedon at the end where it's... Arr,
I think that's more of a Pixar thing, but, yeah.
Could be a Pixar THX thing. Mm. Whatever. Anyway... It's 172, 1st of October, that's today, except not the day you're... We've already been through this.
Like every episode.
Wire, you're listening to The Skeptic Wire. I'm your host, Gary Lund, and with me this week are Donna Swafford.
I'm here.
Apparently, producer extraordinaire. And Greg Perrine.
Hi.
Apparently, panelist extraordinaire.
I have never been on a panel in my life.
This is a panel. It's a panel show. We're gonna give you a panel before you leave.
Doesn't it require like a separate host who doesn't participate in the panel?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, okay. I don't really host these anymore. I just introduce them. I am your introducer, Gary Lund. We'll let Greg get on with the whole panel shit.
Would it be introducer or introductionist?
Ooh. What do you think, Harpo?
Harpo does have an opinion. It's a shame we don't speak dog.
Okay, Harpo, I got it. Timmy fell down the well, but we don't care. Okay?
I think I shut her up.
See?
Basically, Gary, anything in dog is, I'm going to ruin this take.
Yeah. Or hey. All right, so how's everybody's week been this past week?
I got a flu shot.
Yay! I haven't done mine yet.
You bastard.
Neither have I.
What kind of skeptic are you? That's blasphemy.
Is it?
Yes.
I have not blasphemed against flu shots. I just haven't gotten mine. Therefore,
is it blasphemy or is it just sort of a, hey, quit calling, I don't really want to talk to you right now, sort of ignoring date thing? It's not you, it's me sort of thing. Is that really blasphemy?
Yeah, I don't know where she's going with that either.
You said blasphemy, and I'm asking, is it more of a, is it really blasphemy?
More
against
of the fade away kind of stop
it's not,
calling?
It's not you, it's me. Stop calling, flu shot. You're just constantly.
No, it's always you. It's always, with the recriminations, everything, it's always you. It's not me.
Okay, Donna, stop reading my OkCupid messages from other people to me.
Really? They let you on OkCupid? Religion? No. You're not good enough for us.
No, OkCupid is fairly.
It's Match.com.
Or eHarmony.
Or eHarmony or Christian Mangle. No, Mingle.
Mingle.
I did a Cards Against Humanity card that was ChristianMangle.com. It's for Christian daters who want to get into self-mutilation.
Oh, nice.
You know that they're making a movie about Christian Mingle.
What?
Who's they?
The same guys that did God Is Not Dead and all of that jazz.
Wow.
And it's about this sort of...
I would have watched God Is Not Dead if it was all about jazz, but no.
It's about this girl who basically ends up getting on ChristianMingle.com to find the perfect guy, and she does, but she's not Christian when she starts and, you know, finds God behind the couch or something, I don't know.
And she's actually matched up with Jesus himself!
That might actually make it
gives
more interesting.
Gives a new definition to the phrase, second coming of Jesus.
And bread and fishes, but still.
Yeah. It's your typical, you know, C&D list folk. Lacey Chabert is in it, and that's all I can tell you.
Hey, but on the plus side, the next Left Behind series movie has Nicolas Cage in it.
You know what? I'm going to go see it. Honestly, I'm going to go see it because it's Nick Cage.
And the latest advertisement has a quote from Satan says, "Don't bring unbelievers to the movie."
Well, people, there was a preacher who was saying, "This is the movie that will get your atheist friends to believe." And I'm all like, "No."
Why? Because Nicolas Cage is in it? As a pilot and not Satan?
Well, there is that Reddit thread that, like, Cage is our God or something like that. Or,
oh. Yeah.
All proof that Cage,
yeah, but he's,
Nicolas
but
Cage
you have
is,
to understand, Nicolas Cage is not the devil. He was only Satan's accountant in Drive Angry.
But he was also, like, he was the flaming skullhead guy.
Hell,
Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Right. That's, once again, he escaped hell. He's not really the devil or Satan.
Yeah.
He was just visiting?
Yeah, pretty much.
He was on a weekend furlough.
It's one long
weekend.
They
gave him a day pass.
No, you're thinking from the insane asylum.
It's Nick Cage. Did that really need to be said?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Then it is decided.
Speaking of things that need to be said, blasphemy.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So
well, fuck it.
Try a little harder with your blasphemy next time.
Fuck God?
Fuck it, Jesus. So yesterday, September 30th, was International Blasphemy Day or Blasphemy Rights Day. And most people...
Oh, which is it? Because one is a right to blaspheme. The other is you must blaspheme.
Well, none of it is must blaspheme, despite what maybe Christianity Today might say. But it's more of a... expression of that everybody should have freedom of expression and that criticism of religion should not be criminalized.
Right. So if you want to dance with a ribbon in the Olympics. You should be able to.
Sure. So in celebration of International Blasphemy Day, our quiz this week is going to be quotes about blasphemy or regarding blasphemy. And I got all of these quotes, once again, from Goodreads.com. A couple weeks ago, I tried a quiz based on quotes, and it didn't go really great.
Yeah, we got 50%.
Thereabouts. One of the suggestions my dear co-hosts suggested is that I give them a general list of the names of people who could be among the quote list.
Oh, we're talking about that the Swamis or whatever.
The Guess the Guru one.
Yeah, the Guru one, yeah.
This is just beautiful blasphemy, or however you want to alliterate that. So here are
Bitchin' blasphemy? Bastard blasphemy?
Basketball blasphemy.
Buffy, yes, blasphemy.
Buffy blasphemy.
So here's the list of possible authors that, or just public faces that could be quoted in the subsequent quotes. You've got Cormac McCarthy, George Bernard Shaw, Giordano Bruno, Herman Melville, Joseph Haller, Kathy Griffin, Katy Perry, Richard Dawkins, Robert A. Heinlein, Robert G. Ingersoll, Robert M. Price, Salman Rushdie, and Stephanie Meyer.
Okay, that is fucking blasphemy, putting on Stephanie Meyer. That is fucking blasphemy.
So we have 13 different quotes, and Gary and Donna are going to keep their own score. And you can keep your own score at home, too, dear listener. All right,
schwa. Interrobang.
All right, quote number one. All great truths begin as blasphemies.
Okay. Oh, do I have to say who I think it is?
Guess.
I think it's Salman Rushdie.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say.
George Bernard Shaw.
Ah, that bastard.
Sorry.
It sounded very Rushdie.
It could have been. Quote number two. Blasphemy is a victimless crime.
I have a question. Is this a one-for-one list, or could someone have said more than one?
I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, bugger.
Hey, you got a lot of the authors here listed, so.
Okay.
All right, so blasphemy is a victimless crime. That was quote number two. Donna, what do you think that is? Or who do you think that is?
I think it's a quote. I win. 1 point.
I'm going to go with Rushdie again on this one.
You're just going to go all the way down the line.
I'll get one eventually.
You're guessing C every time.
I think it's Dawkins.
Gary gets a point. That was Richard Dawkins. Doesn't mention which book that might have been.
It may have just been
something he said in a speech.
He said in a speech.
Yeah. Quote number three. Where there is no belief, there is no blasphemy. Where there is no belief, there is no blasphemy. Gary.
I'm going to say Ingersoll.
Donna?
I'm going to say Heller.
Sorry, Donna, that was Salman Rushdie.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you all.
All right, quote number four. Blasphemy is an epithet bestowed by superstition upon common sense. I think it's Donna's turn to guess first.
It's not flowery enough to be Melville. It's not stupid enough to be Meyer.
It has nothing about pants.
Pants?
So that let out Kathy Griffin. Bruno.
I think it's Heller.
All right, this was number four. Blasphemy is an epithet bestowed upon superstition by upon common sense.
Yeah.
Robert G. Ingersoll.
God, bugger! My psychic ability is one off.
Only if you ask him nicely. Quote number five. Maybe you who condemn me are in greater fear than I who am condemned. Maybe you who condemn me are in greater fear than I who am condemned.
Whose turn is it?
Gary.
Bruno. Giordano Bruno. Giordano Bruno.
Stephanie Meyer. I don't know. I don't care.
Gary was right. Giordano Bruno.
Woohoo!
All right, quote number 6. So all I can say is, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now.
I'm going to say Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes, it is. Kathy Griffin. I think that was one of her Emmy acceptance speech or something. Yep. It was a longer quote, but I've cut it down to the actual blasphemy. Quote number 7. Talk not blas... Quote number 7. Talk not to me... Quote number 7. Talk... I can't even get the T sound.
It's hard to be blasphemous when you're going, duh.
Talk not to me.
Okay. Try it like a Shakespearean actor.
Talk not to me. All right. Or that was the professor from Futurama. Good news, everyone. Quote number 7. Talk not to me of blasphemy, man. I'd strike the sun if it insulted me. Gary?
I think that's George Bernard Shaw, Anna Yanska of the Bolshevik Empress.
Donna? Talk not to me of blasphemy, man. I'd strike the sun if it insulted me.
You said... Oh, I didn't see the man. No, that's not George Bernard Shaw. I'm sorry. That can't possibly be George Bernard Shaw. That has got to be Joseph Heller.
Donna?
I'll go with it.
Same?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that was Herman Melville from Moby Dick.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Quote number 8, there is no God and we are his prophets. There is no God and we are his prophets.
Cormac McCarthy, I believe.
Gary?
Huh. I was going to go with Heller again.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
I'm afraid Donna was right. Cormac McCarthy, The Road.
It's a great book.
Oh, you've read it?
Yeah, I've read that one.
On the other hand,
is that
I have
the one that was too. Made into a movie
with Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very depressing movie.
It's all gray.
Yes.
Everything on it is gray.
Quote number 9. Using blasphemy as entertainment is as cheap as a Camardian? God damn it, Greg.
That's blasphemy.
I know. Using blasphemy as entertainment is as cheap as a comedian telling a fart joke. Gary?
For some reason, I'm going to say Stephanie Meyer.
I'm going to say Katy Perry.
It was Katy Perry.
Ah, bugger.
Dono gets that one. And Gary offers to bugger someone.
No, I just said bugger.
Ah. I thought it was a general bugger. Anybody got a bugger here?
No, nope, anyway. No, wasn't an offer.
Okay,
just a statement.
So don't get too excited, dear listeners. No. Quote number 10: When I told you I didn't want you, it was the blackest kind of blasphemy. Donna.
Heinlein.
Yep, I'm gonna go with Heinlein as well.
That was from Stephanie Meyer's classic New Moon.
God, I was.
I assume it's like Ted Word to Belladonix or something kind of thing of I am declaring my annoyingly sweetening sick love to you. All right, moving on. Quote number 11. Heresy, by the way, simply means choice. It came to mean thought crime, implying it was blasphemy to presume to choose your own belief instead of swallowing what the bishop spoon-fed you. Gary?
Dawkins.
Donna?
Price.
Robert M. Price. Donna got that right.
Damn it. I was going to say that was the next one.
All right. Quote number 12. Of all the strange crimes that human beings have legislated out of nothing, blasphemy is the most amazing, with obscenity and indecent exposure fighting it out for second and third place. Donna?
Heinlein.
Dawkins.
Heinlein.
God, bugger it.
Time enough for love.
Speaking of blasphemy.
All right, and the final quote, number 13. The chaplain had mastered, in a moment of divine intuition, the handy technique of protective rationalization. And he was exhilarated by his discovery. It was miraculous. It was almost no trick at all. He saw to turn vice into virtue and slander into truth. Impotence into abstinence, arrogance into humility, plunder into philanthropy, thievery into honor, blasphemy into wisdom, brutality into patriotism, and sadism into justice.
I would have read that differently.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to say that's George Bernard Shaw.
I'm going to say Joseph Heller.
Donna's right. That was from Catch 22.
Fuck! I think she wins.
I think you got one of those at one point, Gary.
I got three.
You, three.
I got six.
Yeah, she got
cool.
six.
Cool. Well, congratulations, Donna. You are queen of the podcast. So, yes, you know, these are all, well, okay, not all. A lot of these are by celebrated authors who know what the hell they're talking about and have except thought a lot about.
Except Stephanie Myers.
And Katy Perry.
She's celebrated. She's special.
In that window-licking, helmet-wearing way.
But a lot of these authors have thought a lot about blasphemy and thought crime and why it's a silly thing and why we need free speech and why ideas like religion deserve as much criticism as everything else.
Really? You think Stephanie Myers put that much thought into
most of the authors.
Okay.
She only used the word blasphemy as a punchline.
Yeah, essentially to say, you know, if I said I never loved you, that would be blasphemy. You know, it's more of a...
That's deep.
Yeah,
that was as deep as my pocket.
So this list of quotes also shows the wide range of how intensively people might actually think about the concept of blasphemy and how horrible it could be to accuse people of it and how silly it is to say, oh, that was just blasphemy.
Well, yeah, but all thoughts deserve criticism.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point of blasphemy. From even, you know, questioning gravity, which would be a foolish thing to do, but our explanation of gravity is certainly not a foolish thing to challenge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some people say questioning evolution is blasphemy against science. Well,
it's not.
It's not to ask the question, but to refuse to accept the response and the answers and to look at the real evidence that's out there. That's not blasphemy, but that's not true
skepticism.
Exploration of the truth. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't think it's necessarily a rejection. It's just a rejection of evolution, but without coming up with an alternative explanatory hypothesis or theory. That's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
God is not an explanation. It's
another question.
Yeah. Because you have it. Well, how do you do it? Evolution. Well, fuck!
Then let's make the equation simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Sagan
it's turtles all the way down.
Why not go the next step and just remove God from the equation?
Exactly.
Well, it breaks down to the no sacred cows argument. I mean, if you are holding something that sacred... that you can't question it.
You might want to question it.
You might want to question it.
Exactly.
Why is this so? I don't know. Maybe you should poke at it a little bit. Like a wound that won't heal.
Let's vote on it.
That's the best way to get rid of controversy is voting on it.
Well,
because, you know, wisdom of crowds and all.
Yeah, sometimes not so great.
Yeah, considering they had a big tulip frenzy and crashed the stock market in the 1800s. Wisdom of crowds, you know.
You've been waiting 172 episodes to whip out that little factoid of knowledge, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Well, talking more about blasphemy, we're going to hit on a couple of news stories around the world.
Really? I didn't even find them cute.
Huh? Hit on. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about a few other stories. Is that better, Gary?
Sure.
Regarding blasphemy in the news in the last couple weeks or week or so. One of the latest ones is it was announced yesterday, I think it was, or today, the 29th or the 30th of September, that Ireland's justice minister has brought a proposal from their kind of constitutional convention to their... let's say Circle of Ministers. I don't know what the official government name is of the Irish government.
Just call it the Circle of Ministers. Why not?
To bring a referendum to the public next year, they're thinking, most people are saying spring, maybe like April or May or something like that.
Right. Now, they have a blasphemy law on the books, right? Yes.
Well, I hadn't got to that point yet.
Okay. Sorry.
A referendum to withdraw the blasphemy laws, specifically that are part of the Constitution. Back in 2009, the Fianna Fáil, let's go with that.
Falafel?
No, this is Ireland. Government decided to put this blasphemy law into the Irish Constitution, which includes fines up to 25,000 euros.
It's which pretty is hefty.
Pretty That's hefty pretty charge. Hefty,
yeah, because they're, what, two and a half times right now?
Something like that, yeah.
So about $50,000 fine.
Yeah, just, you know, if you go walking around saying, fuck Jesus, and someone decides to record you and accuse you of blasphemy, you're offending the sensibilities, because essentially...
True, or you could be thrown into jail for two weeks.
Well, okay, let's be honest here. Ireland is essentially a de facto theocracy, because they still have stringent laws outlawing abortion. I'm not even sure if they're marriage equality friendly or whatever, but they've got relatively strong government Catholic ties.
Yeah. They have Catholics in all the crevices.
Pretty much.
Okay. well, part of this whole constitutional convention and part of the suggestion of taking out the blasphemy part of the Constitution is also for pushing more separation of church and state. And you had mentioned, where are they on marriage equality? Around the same time next year, maybe in the same election, maybe in another kind of special election time, they are going to do a referendum on gay marriage as well. Okay. So there's possible progresses there. But right now, the law says that
publishing or uttering matter that is grossly abusive or insulting in relation to matters sacred to any religion, thereby intentionally causing outrage among a substantial number of adherents to that religion, with some defenses permitted.
Right, so which kind of goes back to probably around the time that was enacted, was during the big hullabaloo about the Prophet Muhammad and the bombs and all those stupid cartoons.
It's possible, yeah.
You know what? I bet you, actually, knowing Ireland, it's probably before that.
Yeah, because the International Blasphemy Day, or Blasphemy Rights Day, or whatever you want to call it, its first one was in 2009, and that was on, like, the first anniversary of the Muhammad cartoons.
Okay. Oh, okay. Really? Okay.
So it may have been reaction to it a year later.
But it also, those laws could have been on the books and nobody really enforced them.
Well, like, no atheist can hold power in,
right, exactly.
In Texas, for example. That sounds almost bad. No atheist may hold the power. No, we can't office. Can't hold office. Allegedly.
No atheist can plug in a power cord. Is that...
Absolutely. You may not wield power. You may not turn on or off a breaker.
No atheist can play a power chord on a guitar.
This is true. In Texas. Outside of Texas, it's perfectly all right.
So, I mean, there's not quite as much evidence that, say, the blasphemy law in Ireland has been quite as overly abused as some in the Middle East, where people just, if they don't like somebody, they start accusing them, like their neighbors, Petunias, gets eaten by a dog or whatever, and...
Sure, it's either witchcraft or someone cursed them.
Yeah, and so they accuse of blasphemy. I don't know how much this has really been a big issue in Ireland, but it's progress. I know that some of the atheist activists in Ireland have really kind of been pushing to get this taken away, so it's probably them who are writing letters to that constitutional convention saying, hey, this should be taken out for this reason. We should have separation of church and state.
So, quick Google search. The Republic of Ireland blasphemy is required to be prohibited by Article 40.6.1-I of the 1937 Constitution.
Oh, geez.
The common law offense of blasphemous libel, last prosecuted in 1855, was ruled in 1999 to be incompatible with the Constitution's guarantee of religious equality. The lacuna, which was filed in 2009 by the new offense of public or utterance of blasphemous matter, and the continued existence of blasphemy offense, is controversial with proponents of free speech and freedom of religion arguing that it should be removed. So it does have a long history in Ireland.
But it wasn't until 2000 that they started questioning it. Well, 99. But
well,
whatever.
Probably what happened was there was the case Donna mentioned, where it was saying, oh, this is not really, this doesn't match with our Constitution, and then this other government said, well, we want to put it back in and make it part of the Constitution again, and...
Because that's a smart move.
Yeah, and basically they said it was supposed to be just a stopgap temporary measure before they could make it into a referendum, because back in 2009, they were smack dab in the middle of the money thing, the recession. So they weren't
going to... non-money thing.
Yes, they weren't going to bother with a full referendum at the time because it
no
didn't make a lot of sense to make to spend money on a referendum about blasphemy when all the banks were failing.
And blaspheming at the time.
Yeah, so they just pumped it into the law. But fortunately, we have local atheist people who have been petitioning the Constitutional Convention.
Not necessarily atheists. I mean, they could just be people who recognize that blasphemy laws are horrible.
That is true, but I think it was a lot to do with local atheist groups, because there's also been a lot of criticism that, like, a lot of the European countries have been getting rid of their blasphemy laws, but Ireland still has theirs. And so you get countries like, I don't know, Egypt and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia or whatever, who can point to, well, Ireland still has a blasphemy law, so why are you criticizing us for having a blasphemy law about Muhammad and all that?
Because, and I can answer this probably, in this way, Ireland doesn't kill people for blaspheming.
That's true, but if they still have the blasphemy law, it can be presented in that equivalent manner, even if it's not entirely equivalent.
Yeah. My issue is that particular argument, you know, that's like saying, oh, well, American women don't really have it so bad. Right. Look at, you know, look at Muslima, you know, the Jer Muslima argument.
Right. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Which is true. I mean, it's, yeah.
So another story about blasphemy that's been making the rounds in the last week or two is, apparently, something has gotten some of the Christian websites all in a tizzy lately.
No, really?
Yeah, well, in another tizzy.
Oh, well, did somebody show a boob?
No, no.
Somebody fuck in the baptismal at a church?
Not quite that blasphemous, but to some people, just as blasphemous. So back in 2006, the dawn of the internet social age, if you want to consider that. You know.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly. The Rational Response Squad suggested the blasphemy challenge, which was essentially record yourself on video denying the Holy Ghost, which, according to Mark 3:29, is supposed to be the one unforgivable sin.
Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an internal sin.
What a horrible God voice.
Yeah. I'll fix it in post.
Okay.
It definitely needs some reverb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'll fix it in post.
Yeah, as far as I know, God speaks a little bit slower.
I'll make it faster and whinier.
Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an internal sin.
I like that.
I'd rather do the marriage.
Immigrant sin.
So this was one of the first, like, social campaigns of atheism or whatever to kind of be, like, more out there and to show that we are atheists. We are not afraid of what people think we're afraid of. Going to hell and all that.
They're the first ones, as far as I know, that really attacked the fundamentalists, because they went on with, what, Ray Comfort and Banana Boy. I know he's Banana Boy.
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah. You know, on a primetime event to stand up for, evolution, I believe, in that.
Probably, given that it was Comfort and, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just remember the crocoduck and them laughing. Are you kidding me? Okay, go ahead.
So back in 06, the blasphemy challenge was something that kind of went around all the various blog sites, all the various bloggers and whatever within the atheist sphere were doing a lot of their own videos. But apparently, according to places like Christianity Today and Charisma News, the success of the ALS Ice Water Challenge or Ice Bucket Challenge – has reinvigorated
what?
People doing the blasphemy challenge. Yeah, I haven't seen much of it at all either, but according to these Christian websites, it's all the rage again.
Okay.
I've seen the...
I've seen an exact number of zero.
Well, now I haven't seen that, but I have seen the, what is it, Stand Up for Jesus challenge or something, where they've got the Bible, the flag, and a gun.
Oh,
and you take a picture of that.
Really?
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, I've seen some of those kind of photos, but I didn't know it was part of that meme.
I did see another spoof of that where a guy was holding science books, and instead of a gun, he was holding a telescope. So
yep.
That's been making the rounds. So yay, whoever you are.
Though
guy.
I notice about that one meme that basically compares like a woman with a like an M16 and the Bible and the American flag, a woman with the like ISIS flag and a hijab and an AK-47 and the Quran, and a
Kalashnikov
atheist guy with the fiction T-shirt and the telescope and the several books of science.
Right.
They couldn't find one woman to compare with the other woman from the other religions. It had to be an atheist guy with a beard, pale. At least he wasn't fully overweight. Otherwise, he'd be a completely stereotypical atheist.
Or bald.
Yeah, he had hair.
With a goatee.
Well, he had the full beard, but anyway, so back to the blasphemy challenge. I haven't seen much of this, and the thing that makes me wonder about this is a lot of places like Christianity Today, when they're describing this, they're describing it as a fad that's recirculating or that it's being promoted on popular teen websites. As if it's
really?
As if it's something to just get the kids and to turn them, or that back in 2006 it was only aimed at teens and kids, where everybody was doing it of all ages.
Yeah,
it wasn't a kid thing. And also, a lot of people are kind of ignoring the fact that I think the Rational Response Squad is like defunct
for quite a few years.
Yeah, they're not around, and yet they're still quoting things like. The original blasphemy challenge, the first like 500 or 1,000 people who did the blasphemy challenge were going to get a free DVD or something.
Right.
People, the articles, some of them are still saying, some of them got it right. Like Christianity Today got it right. That it was only the first 1,000 people who did it back in 2006. But some people are still saying, oh, you'll get a free DVD if you do this. So there's not a lot of fact checking here. So that's a little odd that granted, I haven't been following all the blogs that much lately or anything, but I don't think this has become a thing again.
I don't think so. Did you happen to check the dates on the websites you're going to? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the dates of the articles were in the last week.
Oh, okay.
That I was looking
just
at on
because we've been guilty of not looking at the dates and realizing it's
well,
like
it's on things like Inquisitor.com as you know recently in the last couple of days, Christianity Today in the last couple of days, referring to that it has come back up again and back in 06 and all that kind of this used to be a thing now it is again.
I don't think so.
So, kind of odd that this has been. Pushed as a thing, but it is interesting to see on especially the Christian websites how they do a lot of kind of backpedaling and explaining of, oh, well, the word blasphemy wasn't quite as hard back then. It was more about that they just denied that it was like the Pharisees denying that God was that Jesus was the Messiah, and that was the blasphemy. And so it's not really unforgivable because the quote from Mark is he is guilty of an eternal sin, not the eternal sin. So that means it's forgivable, despite the fact that the sentence before that says whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. There's no way to parse that. And yet they do. And saying that the only way to really sin against God and not be forgiven is to reject Christ, and that's kind of all of what the blasphemy challenge is about, to say, listen, I'm not afraid of hell, I'm not afraid of any of the punishments, you know, it's the, it's like the threat of a hippie saying they're going to punch your aura, that joke, of, it does not affect me.
Right.
that's what the blasphemy challenge is about. And a lot of these kind of Christian websites point out along the lines of, oh, you know, this hatred towards God, and it's only, you know, why are some of these teens who are so hostile towards the God that they don't believe in, but they seem really angry at God that they don't seem to think isn't there? That just doesn't make any sense. So they're not really being skeptical or rational. That kind of...
Yeah, well, it's a typical thing. Why are you so mad at something that, yeah, that has...
That, that doesn't has, exist.
Right. And because, as is often explained, it's because it affects people who are affecting us. Mm-hmm. And so people... Like, if you weren't passing laws based on this idiotic belief, we wouldn't have a problem with you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do whatever the hell you want. But when you start saying that it's not okay to question your mm-hmm. belief or the reasons why you're doing something, that becomes a problem.
Exactly.
It becomes a big problem.
Additionally, it filters into other areas that really kind of have nothing to do with religion, because right. this sort of level of fervor for religion translates over into patriotism. You know, if you don't proudly wave the flag and stand up and say the pledge, you're not a real American and get the fuck out.
You're not one of us. You're not right. part of our tribe.
You know, and which is a big thing right now, because there are several, there's the one school challenge, and I believe it is here in Texas, where the kid sat out and the teacher supposedly, allegedly.
For the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right. Allegedly said, you know, basically get the fuck out of my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this big thing. Freedom From Religion Foundation has gotten involved in everything. And people
American
are,
Humanist Association, I think, did the Don't Stand Up for the Pledge.
Yeah, because, and now it's, like I said, it's
and
progressed
they've been
into
hacked,
this.
By the way, as of this time.
Yeah, but it's also page. Progressed into this sort of, you know, once again, we hear you're not a real American if you're not a gun-toting, Jesus-loving, you know, church-going,
God-fearing,
God-fearing, yeah. driving a, you know, F-350 with a gun rack
and the
horns.
Hat rack.
And horns. You gotta have the bull horns.
Well,
on
you have to have the horns, but you also have to have a place to put your hat inside.
Okay.
And
big, playing Lee Greenwood.
The battering ram on the front of the truck.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
people say is for driving through brush, but these are cars that people drive to their cubicle job every day.
Sure. You never know when you might have to break through that wall to get to your cube.
But to turn around and, like, you know, question, just because you don't believe in God and you actively question it, does not equal being a lousy American or hating your country. In fact, if anything, it shows that you're standing up for the Constitution and the separation of church and state.
Yeah. Except that people don't like the separation of church and state and think that it's a bad thing, or...
You know what? Yeah. Let them say that when an actual Muslim becomes president.
That will be an interesting day. You get a lot of people reacting like that, what is it, the uber conservative rabbi who wouldn't sit on a plane next to a woman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, if someone was saying that you had to make it into a law that, you know, men and women can't sit together on planes, that
unless
would be
they're
a big
married.
Problem.
Oh, well,
oh,
shit.
Unless they're
no, that
yeah.
just happened, though.
It, yeah, exactly.
With the Jewish.
On El Al. It was on El Al, I believe.
Wherever. Whatever, they're going over to Israel, and they refuse to sit next to a woman. What
yeah,
the hell.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, well, I'm doubling down on my outrage.
But if, you know, if say, conservative Jews were trying to make that a law in the United States, we would fight alongside everybody else saying, no, we can't make religious law into public law.
Right. But then you also have the problem with the NFL. I think it was, where a Muslim guy who actually probably shouldn't be playing football because pigskin and all.
He's probably wearing gloves.
Good point.
And it's probably not
and
actual.
It's probably not actual pigskin
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But what, he prayed after making a touchdown by kneeling down, and apparently it's okay to praise God and pray and Tebow it.
Yeah, but there are also plenty of players who don't Tebow, they look up to God, they make themselves the sign of the cross, they point up, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a weird situation with the NFL thing because apparently he went across the score line and slid to his knees and then bent over in prayer, and they're saying that the penalty was for the sliding part. But yes, it's a really kind of funky gray area to say.
I think he's just pissed because he doesn't beat his wife.
That he didn't beat his wife?
Ouch! Ooh!
Not fitting in with the culture. I'm sorry, I know that a good majority of NFL people are not misogynist.
Yes, literally the good majority.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just being
a douche?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like an every day Wednesday.
Yeah. Were you expecting something else? Just going to
call
out the most ridiculous thing I can possibly
get. Yeah, because you're just so friendly and sweet and everything nice on Fridays.
That sounded like sarcasm. You don't know me on Fridays.
I do.
I dress up all nice in a dress. Oh, no, wait. That's other Fridays. Never mind.
I've seen him do it. Yeah. It's actually kind of cute.
Balloons, everything. It was great.
Okay. I'm not shaming you. I'm just, your guys are going with the banter thing, and I thought I'd let you keep going.
Okay. Dig yourself for the big old hole. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah. What's next?
So, speaking of people who are bastards, and about blasphemy, the last major story regarding blasphemy that we have this week is from Pakistan. From the, oh goodness me, why don't you pronounce it, Harpo? Nope, okay. Adiala prison in Rawalpindi in Pakistan. You have several people, or at least a few people, in that prison who are there under charges of blasphemy.
At least two.
And
in the same cell.
Yes. And in Pakistan, as Gary alluded to earlier, the charge of blasphemy, if you're convicted of it, can carry the sentence of death. And it's probably just blasphemy against Muhammad and Islam, because one of the people in the cell was local Christian pastor Zafar Bahati, who was in 2012 was accused of texting basically stuff that was derogatory of the Prophet Muhammad's mother. Not of the Muhammad himself, but derogatory of his mother.
So what you're saying is he was making the Muslim equivalent of Yo Mary jokes.
Yeah. What's the name for that? Those series of jokes.
Yo Mama jokes.
Yo Mama.
But there's like, oh God, this is gonna bug me.
Yo Mama so fat it's that like when she orders a hamburger, she orders a hot dog on it.
So Mr. Bahati was sharing his cell with Muhammad Asghar, who's from Scotland, but
I can tell by his name.
But is of Pakistani descent and came back to Pakistan, apparently, at some point.
Yeah, apparently to blaspheme. Or not. Although I just thought of a new one. Your mama's so fat that the lost Mars rover that they sent out there that totally missed the planet is now orbiting her.
Wow, that was a deep pull.
little science joke.
Little science joke.
So Muhammad Asghar was arrested in 2010 and sentenced to death soon thereafter because a disgruntled tenant presented letters that he had written Asghar saying that he, Asghar, was a prophet. Not anything bad about Muhammad, but that he was
a prophet.
Another prophet, a prophet after Muhammad, which is a big no-no in Islam.
All right, now, one of the articles I read was very difficult to read, but I believe that guy was 7 years old. And
70.
And was also had been diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Paranoid schizophrenia. And that's an interesting thing we can kind of get into here for a second. That
the whole mental health thing.
Yeah, that. Okay, yes, he has mental health problems, and there has been some of the arguments from groups like Reprieve, which has been campaigning to get specifically Mr. Asghar out of Pakistan and off death row and stuff like that. But all they've been kind of pushing on are things like, you know, he's been, the facilities there can't handle people with mental health problems. He should be put in a secure facility where he can receive adequate treatment for right. his mental health problems. He shouldn't, okay, maybe he should be in some kind of mental health treatment facility or just in outpatient treatment, but they're ignoring the fact that he's in jail for just saying something.
Right.
That they're
or
not
allegedly saying.
Yeah, they're not arguing that. Why the fuck is he in jail in the first place?
Right.
He's someone who's a little off their rocker. That's one thing. Who said something like, "I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet." You know.
Okay.
I could walk into an elevator and go, "I'm a squirrel. I'm a squirrel. I'm a squirrel. I'm not going to get put in jail."
But if you said I'm a prophet, you might. Well, not in America, because we have all kinds of prophets.
Yes.
Usually with an F, not a PH.
Yeah, the Koch brothers.
But, okay, so here's a guy who has mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
He should be treated. But let's admit it. This part of the world really doesn't do a, how shall we put this, stellar job in regards to human rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, the court just wouldn't even listen to any of the evidence that he had been diagnosed back in Scotland of schizophrenia. They just didn't consider it at all and said, he said something blasphemous, convicted.
Sure. Also remember, this is the part, this area, I mean, it's not Pakistan, but I believe it was, I can't remember what country it was, where the kid had been handed pieces of the Quran to go and burn, and the kid was sentenced to death mm-hmm. or something recently. Okay. So the kid is either killed by your elder for not obeying him or get killed by your government for doing what your elder told you.
Yeah.
Right. But this falls under the category of what's the harm of believing weird, you know, stupid things.
Yeah.
It's like, because if the court doesn't even want to hear anything simply because someone said some words, which apparently hold great power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if the person is going to be punished after death anyway, why are you killing? If he's non-violent and not, he's causing problems. He's a rabble rouser. People might actually start listening to him and believing him because obviously the word of the Quran or the Bible isn't good enough.
Yeah.
So
or
you have to have
this
someone
all-powerful, omni everything, omnipotent, omniscient, omni. Sex,
omnivorous
God, omnivorous God, can't possibly protect themselves.
Yeah,
can't, you know? God has been known in lots of these holy books to, you know, send down fire
rain
and brimstone,
down with furious vengeance.
But, you know, okay, maybe God's a little bit more subtle in his or her old age. Maybe just, you know, the person's walking along the street one day, and God just pushes like a puppy in front of the person, and they trips over and falls and hits their head and dies. God could probably do that and still be a subtle, mysterious being.
Well,
that's a good point.
The other side of this is that if you look at the Bible, it's all about paranoid schizophrenics. Come on.
Yes.
Okay. So 2,000 years ago, God, you're talking to a burning bush. Apparently that's okay. You do that on the streets of New York now, they're locking you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, certainly probably for prostitution, but.
Well, for a second, let's
that's just talking to Lindsay Lohan.
Oh!
So to continue the discussion mainly on the mental illness thing, I'm going to bring us back to the story for a second. Where, so we have these two people sharing a cell in blah, blah, blah prison, who I'm going to mispronounce anyway, so I'm not going to even bother. You've got Bahati and Muhammad Asghar, who are sharing the cell, both convicted of blasphemy and all that. And one of the guards at the prison, Muhammad Yusuf, who's around 25.
How can you name people Muhammad and then get pissed off when people name people Muhammad?
No, they get pissed off when dogs get named Muhammad.
Or little bears. Or kids naming their teddy bears. Nah! Idiots!
Exactly.
Are you really certain about that? I mean, because I'm sensing some hesitation.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel, Gary. Don't mince words.
Fucking idiots!
There we go. So, this guard, Muhammad Yusuf, basically walks up to the cell and starts shooting in the cell. The authorities at the prison aren't entirely sure how he still had a gun with him, because I think there's something about they're not allowed guns, like, if they're not on the fence or something like that.
Oh, but according to one of the reports, he was a police commando.
Yes. Trained as a commando, which is interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
They don't wear the special underwear.
He received elite force training for 6 months.
Oh, well, that makes him a commando then.
So he walked up to the cell and basically started shooting. The Christian pastor, Zafar Bahadi, is shot dead. And Muhammad Asghar, the 70-year-old older man with the paranoid schizophrenia, he was shot in the back and brought to a hospital where he is in stable condition, but he was critical for a while. He is okay. He is still alive. Wow. So this guard basically walked up to the cell and started shooting. And there was a funny sentence from the article in the New York Times about this.
It remained unclear what prompted the attack, but officials speculated that the guard was motivated by religion.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, in the Pakistani Today article,
yes,
they said that he was a follower of the Barelawi, Barelvi, or Barielawi, Barelawi. We're gonna choose a pronunciation for those of you who know to actually pronounce it. This is probably going to grate on your nerves if we're not pronouncing it, but we're going to call it Barelawi. Okay? So he followed the Barelawi school of thought about Islam.
Exactly.
Okay. So I thought, well, what the hell does that mean? Because we know
of like Sunni and Shia.
Exactly. So this is a subsect of the Sunni, but they have some interesting things. So according to Wikipedia, and I'm going to do a compare and contrast here.
It is Wikipedia, but...
It is Wikipedia. Wikipedia gives a good...
Overview.
Good overview, but also they spin it fairly nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For whatever reason. So they do recognize that they try to be a non-violent sect. For example, when the Innocence of Muslims, that film came out, that was just propaganda, anti-Muslim film, the Barelawi people said we're non-violent in that thing. But they do have, I guess, turf wars. It's like the Jets and the Sharks, mm-hmm, with, except more violent and deadly, with...
more Hatfields and McCoys.
Exactly. With another sect that they disagree with, but they're supposedly nonviolent. Now, some of the beliefs, according to Wikipedia, is regarding Muhammad's nature, which distinguish them from the Jets. We're going to say that the Malawi or the Barelawi are the Sharks.
Okay.
Therefore, the Diobandi, Salafi, and Shia are the Jets. So, the Barelawis believe that Muhammad is a human being, but created from light, like angels, rather than clay, like human beings.
Obviously.
He is present in many places at the same time. He's still paying attention to what's going on. He has knowledge of that which is unknown, including the future. And he has the authority to do whatever he desires, as granted to him by God.
I don't remember a lot of prophecies of what was going to happen in the Quran. Now, I haven't read it cover to cover, but most of the stuff from the Quran is about this is what you should do in the here and now.
This would be actually a Teacher Mike question.
Good question. Right. Too bad he's busy dealing with the shell-shocked virus.
Yes.
So they actually had some very bad conflicts with the Diobandi. But the interesting thing about the founder of the Barelawi is it was founded in the late 1800s, early 1900s by a guy named Ahmed Raza Khan. I've been waiting all podcasts to say that.
Clearly.
and they were trying to keep the South Asian version of Islam alive. Now, Khan apparently went to Saudi Arabia to the scholars at Mecca and got a fatwa issued saying that his interpretation of the Quran was accurate. What's happened since is the Al-Sauds, the Saudis, have overtaken the region, and now they consider them to be not so...
heretics.
Yeah. Now, this is where I kind of started laughing, in fact, when I was reading it. The Wikipedia page gives this nice little overview, and a fairly positive overview, saying, oh, they're nonviolent, blah, blah, blah.
Muhammad is made of light, he knows everything,
exactly.
Blah, 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 blah.
If you go to Islam QA, which I originally thought was Islam Ka, which sounds kind of like an Arabic word, but QA, question and answer. And then I realized I totally missed the title, Islam question and answer.
Right there at the top of the page?
Right at the top of the page. Because I skipped to the meat of the thing. So it says...
Gary should eat a salad more often.
I'll just call it episode 150265, or page whatever. Beliefs of the Barilawas. What are the beliefs of the Barilawa sect? And it says, quote...
Praise be to Allah. The Barilawas are an extreme Sufi sect that appeared in the Indo-Pakistani subcontinent in the city of blah, 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 blah. The basic principles of their misguided, deviant teachings are based on exaggeration about the Prophet, blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, and the members of his household, exaggerations about the righteous, enmity towards Al-As-Sunnah, which I guess would be the Sunni, I don't know, and diverting the people away from jihad for the sake of Allah.
So, he was one of the misguided extremists. Blah, 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 blah.
So yeah, one man's holy man is another man's blasphemer.
Exactly. And, yeah, they just kind of rip him apart. And yeah. Just, it's...
Well, it's interesting how these tiny little sects may have problems. You know, you wonder if maybe part of the reason that set off Muhammad Yusuf, the guard... is that the Christian pastor Bahadi had allegedly sent texts directly of the Prophet's mother. So if they venerate the family a lot more of Muhammad, not just Muhammad, maybe that's part of what set him off.
Yes.
Or something like that. But apparently,
she's still alive, according to their cult.
Anyway. I have no idea. Yeah. The interesting thing, getting back to the mental health issue... is that the guard Muhammad Yusuf had told his friends that he had dreams where he received divine guidance and was willing to sacrifice his life for his beliefs, that sort of thing. And he fully on believed that basically he had received a dream right before he did this act that the people who were accused of blasphemy were going to get let out of jail. So that meant that he needed to punish them because they needed to be punished.
See, it's amazing to me that people who are true believers tend to be on the violent side of their actions.
Devil's advocate, we don't always hear about the ones who God tells them to go, pet a puppy.
Well, this is true, but...
But I take your point.
But he immediately assumed that them being freed was a bad thing, that... they weren't necessarily wrongfully imprisoned, and Allah or Muhammad or whoever the fuck was telling this guy that, hey, check it out, they're going to be freed. Isn't this a great thing? But no, he has to go kill them because he's a violent sociopath, psychopath fuckhead.
Probably needs just as much mental health treatment as, name?
Well, yeah, exactly.
The other Muhammad, the Askar. Asgardian.
Asgardian. Exactly.
I was wondering when we were going to get to that joke. Okay.
So regardless, I find it amazing, and that was one of the things I wrote down because I took a trip to the Bayou last week, so I was in Louisiana, yes. Which is why I wasn't on the podcast last week. And on the plane, I was sitting next to what turned out to be a right wing. Christian person, and the person I was working with was a right-wing Christian person.
And you're right smack dab in the middle of them.
Yeah. And
both
of them use the exact same concept, which is, because they were talking about ISIL or ISIS or what
ISIS,
the hell is.
Yeah. Islamic State in Iraq and Syria.
Right. Yeah. Who were beheading people, and they both said, well, you know what we need to do? We need to turn that place into a parking lot.
Bomb them into non-existence.
And it's just like, it's weird how you're so Christian and so pro-life, and you're willing to kill everybody to get rid of a couple of bad people.
Yeah.
You moron.
Well, first off, they're only pro-life until you're born.
Well, this is true.
Okay, so let's clarify
free
that.
Free will and all.
You know, that there's not, it's not really pro-life as they are pro-pre-life.
Yeah.
Pro-birth.
You want to ask them the hypothetical question of, if you could know without a shadow of a doubt that the child about to be born was gay, would you abort it?
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them might answer that question in a very scary way.
Yeah.
Well, we have that all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, just recently, we had the Texas representative who was inaugurated who basically said secularists should be shot in the neck like they did, like Hitler did.
Like that secularists are Nazis or something like that. Yeah. That was breaking news in the last day or so. Yeah.
You know, well, you know, Christians love their Holocausts. Yeah. You know, they're just waiting for one.
They love the persecution.
Well, the Christians have also gotten themselves all in a tizzy about was it Bedford, Pennsylvania, where the kid posed with the Jesus statue pretending like it was giving him a blowjob. He might get 2 years in prison for essentially a blasphemy charge.
Right.
So we have this kind of stupid shit.
For a joke in poor taste.
Yeah, I mean, when I first read the news articles a couple of weeks ago about that, my brain immediately jumped to, he shouldn't be anything about blasphemy, fine. Charge him with trespassing because it was private property.
Right.
It was a church's property. It wasn't like Jesus on the lawn of the courthouse or anything like that. It was someone's private property. Okay, fine. Trespassing.
Fine him.
But
you don't send him somewhere
just
for
trespassing, but an act with a statue that didn't break the statue. It's not like he was knocking down headstones in a cemetery or something like that.
Maybe the Jesi complained.
The who?
The Jesi.
The
Jesus.
Oh.
The statue. Yeah.
Plural.
Well, it didn't look like the Jesus was complaining.
You know
what? It was just sat there.
I'm pretty sure in this day and age, if Jesus were walking around in here, I'm going to get arrested for blasphemy. I'm pretty sure that he'd be giving and getting just as well as he was getting the statue was, okay?
Jesus is a total slut. Yeah.
He is. That whole
love
thy neighbor.
That should be our next t-shirt.
That whole love thy neighbor bit. How much do you really love your neighbor?
Oh, Jesus was a total swinger.
Well, and he also said turn the other cheek.
Switch hitter.
Spankings.
He also had quotes about big swords, and he hated figs. He hung around with 12 guys all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, what, he was into football?
I think it's more baseball.
No, because 12 guys aren't how many people are in it? I have no idea. 11 guys are on the
You're
team.
Not into football because you don't beat your wife.
That's right.
Because you're not married.
Yeah, true. Otherwise, you know, I damn well... No.
Thank you for walking straight into that one, Gary. Oh, look, I dug a nice hole for Gary and bloop.
Oh, oh my God. A red button must push.
Yes. Always give Gary the do not push button.
Anyway. So shall we move on to Ebola? Ebola has come to Texas. not over the border because of the Islamic State.
It flew in.
Technically over a border, not the Mexican border.
Not the Mexican border.
Not those damn dirty immigrants.
No.
Okay, watch it. That was a little too sincere. I know you're joking, but wow.
I love immigrants. I'm joking. I am channeling the people.
Hell, she practically married one. I don't know what that means.
What?
Do you got a little something on the side that we don't know about, Donna?
No, I'm just thinking you guys
are. It's not fair.
Overseas.
Neither Gary and I are dating anybody, but you got two, maybe three guys on the side?
I can't tell a lie. Wow. I got lots of them on the side.
You must have been getting freaky during Alamo Comic-Con.
I was. I talked to everybody.
Wow. It's amazing you didn't get Ebola. So this guy, an unnamed person.
Well, but, you know what? It's a good thing they're not naming him. Yeah. It is Texas. We do have concealed carry. And hell, my forest has a fucking weapon.
And a history of lynching, too.
Yeah. So he went in. He flew back from Liberia from...
basically ground zero of Ebola.
September 11th or 12th or something like that.
Sometime in the last couple weeks. Yeah.
And then felt ill. Went to the hospital, said that he was visiting from the library, and they let him go with some Liberia, and then let him go with antibiotics, and then he got sick and got a hospital ride a couple of weeks later, or about a week later, back to the hospital, and where they said, oh, you're not from the library, you're from Liberia. Okay, well, yeah, there's an outbreak going, so let's check you, and it turned out that he had Ebola.
Yeah.
So he flew while he allegedly was not contagious.
Well, okay, here's the thing. They checked him at the Liberia airport before he flew out.
No, they tested his temperature.
Right. That's what I was going to say. They just checked for fever.
Right.
And if you're not presenting with symptoms, fever, that kind of thing, according to the science, you are not contagious yet.
Exactly.
So that's why... The CDC isn't quite panicking about the people who are on the plane with him. But like you said, he started feeling sick, went to the hospital, and left for 2 days.
Right.
And so, was contagious all that time.
Right. So, go ahead.
So while he is in his contagious stage and not sequestered, so he's riding around in a car with people, another enclosed space. He is at home, and people are probably visiting.
Yeah, there are four or five high school kids that were...
Because you know how Texans are about, you know, if you're sick, bring over some food.
Right.
Apparently, this is a big thing in Texas.
It's probably a good thing that these people were not anti-vaccination nuts and were just saying, oh, well, let's have a pox party.
Yeah.
Around children who are now in schools... And this guy could be
a huge... children are little petri dishes bad enough on just on the normal days for the flu and cold and all that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, technically, this guy could be, you know, the new Typhoid Mary of Texas.
You know what we need? We need a disease that is obvious. Something that makes your ass break out like a marmoset in heat, right? Like Estrus, just poof, your ass goes red. You're like, oh, that guy is sick.
How many people wear assless chaps, Gary?
Okay.
How about nose? Their nose. Right.
Whatever.
Because if that would happen, Homo habilis would have known to kill that guy, and we wouldn't have had to worry about it, okay? There's a reason why diseases are actually more advanced than we are.
Ooh, diseases are subtle so that they get past all those kind of checks. Yeah. But yes, I understand what you're saying. Another proof that there is no God. Blasphemy! Anyway...
Our God has a very sick sense of humor.
Now, I remember saying several weeks ago when we first started talking about Ebola in Africa, back when it was less than 1,000 people dead, now it's more than 3,000 people dead.
More than 3,000 dead and 6,500 known infected.
Yeah.
Which is very, very different in Liberia and those countries than it is here. Yeah.
So I remember saying back then that if it did come to the United States,
and it has,
it probably would not spread as fast and quick and uncontrolled as it has in Africa, because we have the better sanitation, the better diagnoses, and there's more of the hand washing and all that kind of stuff. We will see in the next couple of weeks if I was proven right, or if we were acting out Stephen King's The Stand.
Or 12 Monkeys.
What I find funny is that, okay, so if you can't get on the news now without seeing somebody talking about Ebola. Oh my God, Ebola has come to Texas. You know, but I've heard people say, let's just border off Texas until this is sort of quarantine the entire state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this guy flew into Dallas. while he was not contagious, hung out in an apartment complex. And I'm sure that all of them went all the way to El Paso.
Right. But at the same time...
So let's just cordon off Dallas. I'm fine with that.
Dallas is a big place.
The Southerners are perfectly willing to put a whole big old fence along the long Rio Grande. We can do one around Dallas.
That's true.
But at the same time, how many people die every day of AIDS, of cancer, of preventable diseases
such as...
No, well, even just preventable ones like whooping cough. Nah. Things like this. Diarrhea. How many of these... And nobody fucking gives a shit. One guy comes down with Ebola in the United States, and everybody fucking loses their shit.
It's the opposite of the not in my backyard kind of problem, where if the closer a disaster is, the more we pay attention to it. Like, a billion people die in a gas explosion in you know, it's like, where is that? In India? Oh, okay, whatever. In Indiana? Holy fuck, we're all gonna die!
Well, it's you know, the great quote from Stalin, the death of one man is a tragedy, the death of millions is simply a statistic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm depressed now.
Yeah. The important thing, dear listeners, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Eventually.
But losing your shit over one guy in Dallas who is now in... What?
Maybe two. Yeah, they brought another person of interest in.
Okay.
He's like in critical condition, but he is being treated. He's not dead yet.
Right.
Not dead yet.
But
I thought I'd head you off at the pass. Go ahead, Donna.
The guy is in quarantine. We do have a pretty amazing healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC...
If he has healthcare.
As soon as the CDC kind of got the news, because there were some missteps in the diagnosis process, and, you know...
The first they thought that a librarian can't get Ebola.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank goodness the head of the Secret Service was in charge of this.
Exactly. But... So there were steps that were missed and everything else, but still, this is not, to me, this is not the tragedy that, you know, I mean, we had our governor, who for some reason we can't actually find any footage of him actually talking about it, but he was on the news today, you know, giving an update about the Texas Ebola problem.
It's nowhere near
people. Okay, I'm pretty sure that I can walk outside and find, in probably about an hour in your neighborhood, two people who either have a common cold or have cancer or something around
here.
Or
the flu, which is far more likely to kill you.
Exactly.
Except for me, because I just got my flu jab.
Okay, that's a good point. Get your flu shots, folks.
So what he's saying is that you and I are patient zeros for him right now.
Oh, that's a good point. You realize you just rubbed your hand all over a flu-infested table, right?
Exactly.
Okay, what, are you trying to get more? Oh, thanks.
There is a great meme that's gone around on Facebook that's essentially along the lines of,
have you been experienced?
Bodily fluids of someone who is contagious with, who's showing symptoms for Ebola. And it's one of those, like engineer's decisions trees things. And it says no, then it says...
Flow chart.
You don't have Ebola. You know, it's pretty simple. If you haven't gotten in contact with any of these, you're fine. You don't need to panic. And in addition to, if you do get Ebola, forget the whole experimental K-Pak, whatever stuff they're trying to...
K-Pak rocks.
Stuff.
That was a horrible movie.
Even just...
No, it's K-Pax. The K-Pak... The K-Pak is that stuff they get you when you have, like, some sort of bacterial infection. They're like, take all seven of these pills.
Mm.
And it just... It kills
everything.
Everything, yeah.
But there was experimental drug that we mentioned a few weeks ago that I can't remember the name of. It was something like K-Pak or whatever. That, yeah, okay, maybe or maybe not, that helped the couple doctors they brought back to the CDC in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. But most of the time, the biggest problem with Ebola... is fluid loss through things like diarrhea and something like that. Most of the time, if they have someone in a good medical facility and they're isolated and they're kept fluids, the guy isn't dead yet. The reason why is because he's being maintained with fluids. He's being watched around the clock. In our good healthcare system, he'll probably be okay. Maybe he might die. But I don't think it's going to be an epidemic that is going to allow Rick the Hare Perry to show just how an amazing Texas leader he really is.
Yeah.
So, so Ebola, don't panic.
Don't panic. Yes, we need
we
far
will let
more.
You know when to panic.
Yes, trust us.
Because when we're going, holy fuck, we're heading to Mexico right now.
Yeah, will we all three Skype in?
Yeah, I was about to say that. When we start doing stop doing shows in person with each other.
That's right. Yeah, because we don't do a shitload of research for this thing. In fact, I don't do any. But the fact that... Well, sometimes I do.
When we start doing our shows Skyped and wearing surgical masks and gloves, that's when you know you that's need right. to worry.
We've got the dog in an environmental suit. You can hear it moving around. And all you hear is, woo, 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 rather than the less muffled thing, then you know that you should probably possibly panic. On the other hand, if you're listening to the podcast, it's not like you can get Ebola from a podcast.
Or can are you?
Are you really sure about that?
You might get mind Ebola. We're going to melt your mind!
The Skeptic Wire, we will give you mind Ebola.
Anyway, I think that pretty much wraps us up. What did we learn? We learned that blasphemy can be fun.
Really?
Not if you're in Pakistan.
Well, okay, in other more enlightened places of the universe.
Like Ireland?
Like Ireland, yes.
Like Texas?
Ooh, me blasphemous Lucky Charms.
Armagerd.
Armagerd, blasphemy.
And we learned that you probably don't have Ebola, and unless you do, in which case, go get that shit checked out.
Dr. Gary Long, folks.
He's not a real doctor, but he does play one on the Skeptic Wire podcast.
That's right.
Well, we all kind of talk out of our ass from time to time about things we know very little about. Mostly about how to pronounce stuff from the Middle East, but yeah. Besides that.
And how does it... How exactly is a schwa pronounced?
Schwa.
Schwa.
A schwa. Although we did come up with a new word. It's not meh. It's even worse than meh. It's the schwa version of meh. It's muh.
Muh.
Well, you can't even bother to be bothered.
It's a very hipster word.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was thinking more Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Meh.
As long as it isn't Kirk Cameron, that's the important thing.
Exactly. All right, so thank you for joining us this week. I'm your host, Caroline, and I'd like to thank Donna and Greg for joining me.
I would like to thank Gary and Greg.
I would like to cake.
Oh,
and
there's
we've
a Freudian
gone
slip.
Into the cannibalism.
Yeah. I'd like to cake you.
Gerg hungry. I would like to thank Gary, Donna, and Harpo for... Another beautiful Skeptic Wire where we celebrate...
Extravaganza!
Yes, that is
without
us.
The extra or the ganza. So more of the...
Strava.
Yeah, we all did that at the same time. I can't believe that. All right, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye!
The Skeptic Wire podcast theme music is by Oscar Lawn with guest mandolin by Greg Perrine. If you've enjoyed listening to The Skeptic Wire, leave a review on iTunes or leave us a voice message via the Podposted app for iPhone. Friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Skeptic Wire. Follow our blog at skepticwire.blogspot.com or send us an email, skepticwire@gmail.com. You've been listening to The Skeptic Wire.
How Did This Get Made? One of the things they do is at the beginning, like, this episode is brought to you by Cards of Humanity.
They don't want us to read them. Several podcasts have. I just wish that, you know.
You gotta admire them.
If we had the number of listeners to actually rate, you know, advertising, that would be a good fit for us.
Okay. But it would. I think so.
Yeah. That or some small section.
This episode brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. Only not really, because they're not giving this shit.
Because we want them to sponsor us.
And AdamandEve.com.
And Stamps.com. And
we have not.
Hey, we're officially sponsored by Freddy Krueger and the Crypt Keeper, okay?
Well, when you've been single for over 2 years, you really don't feel like making a lot of AdamandEve.com jokes.
Yeah, there is that. But think of all the money you're saving. Wasted on tissue and socks, I guess.
We've had this discussion, Gary. I'd never use socks. Right. Dot, dot, dot.
But, you have futures in Kleenex.
Just like the black t-shirt industry took a steep nosedive after Jerry Garcia died, if I ever am not single, the tissue industry is just going to go right into the tank.
Well, you and
no,
every,
no, no,
you
go
and
ahead.
Every 12 and 13-year-old.
It's delighting you entirely too much.
Are you recording?